The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is a king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do not fear God, since you are under the sentence of condemnation. And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you in the name of God, our Creator and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a beautiful weekend to celebrate Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday of our church year. This is a relatively new church festival, as it has only been recognized in the church for 100 years. Pope Pius XI instituted this feast day at the end of the liturgical year in 1925. So we're on the 100th anniversary this year. What was going on at the time, if you remember your history, is that Europe was devastated from the First World War, and the Pope was concerned with the growing fascism and nationalism around him. He hoped that by emphasizing Christ as King, he would refocus nations, leaders, and individuals to recognize Christ as the supreme ruler of the universe, instead of people putting their trust in governments and human powers that come and go. So here we are, 100 years later, still celebrating this feast day that we need perhaps now more than ever. What does it mean for us to say that Christ is our King and to live as Christ's subjects? First, let us consider what it means to be King. When I think of monarchy, I think of the Disney movies of my childhood. How many of you are familiar with the animated movie or the Broadway musical, The Lion King? Good. Many of you. See, last week, Pastor Westermeyer used astrophysics in his sermon, but I'm the pastor of family life, so this week you get Disney movies. But in all seriousness, think of your favorite literature, your favorite story that revolves around kings. Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion King, Shakespeare's Hamlet, Game of Thrones, The Crown, The Bridgertons, wherever you're at. All these stories illustrate that there are perks and problems of kingship. It's good to be king because you get to do whatever you want. In The Lion King, little Simba says it best because he just can't wait to be king, right? In the song, he professes that nobody gets to tell him what to do, and he gets to make everyone else do his will. However, The Lion King also illustrates that kings use up an awful lot of energy just trying to retain their power. It's showed by when Scar, okay, if you don't know the plot, there's two brothers. Mufasa is the king. His brother is jealous. He outs him. He kills him off, and then he takes the throne. But Scar rules out of a constant state of paranoia and oppresses his subjects, and the kingdom falls into starvation and war. The Lion King might be a work of fiction, but it helps us understand kingship and makes us wonder, Is there ever really a good king? Do we want Jesus to be a king if this is what kings do? Well, like Trish helped us see, Jesus is an altogether different kind of backwards king. Perhaps king isn't even the right word for him. He didn't want to be king. In the Gospel of John, after Jesus feeds thousands of people with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, he can sense that the crowd wanted to make him king. But the Gospel says that he just slipped away off by himself to go up onto the mountain. After he was arrested then, Pontius Pilate asked Jesus directly, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered simply, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus' kingdom is not like the kingdoms of this world, held together by power and greed, lust, exploitation, and oppression. Jesus' kingdom, maybe I shouldn't even call it a kingdom, Jesus' reign is full of love, grace, wholeness, and belonging. Jesus calls it paradise. And he invites people of all walks of life to join him. As Jesus hangs on the cross, as we heard in the Gospel of Luke, he's being crucified, struggling to breathe, and yet he's caught in this argument between the two criminals on each side of him. The first says, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise. Whether it is Jesus' spoken Aramaic or the written Greek, paradise is a word from the Persian language, and it means a lush garden, a place of peace and tranquility. Jesus sees himself as a ruler of a peaceful garden, an Eden, where all people, regardless of their mistakes or flaws, are in harmony with each other, and all of creation is made whole right along with them. Jesus encourages the man next to him that he is welcome in this reign, and he implies that together, very soon, they will be in paradise after they die. We too can look forward to this paradise, this new life that is to come. But I can't help but wonder, what am I supposed to do with the rest of my life here on earth? If Christ is our ruler, our leader, our majestic monarch who is different than any other king of this world, how am I supposed to live as his subject on this side of paradise? Again, I find my answer not in what Jesus does not say, but what in Jesus says. He never says, "I am king." But he does say that he holds a much more humble leadership role. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Our Isaiah reading for today expresses that God will set up a shepherd to rule among the people. And that seems to be just how Jesus sees himself. Shepherds are the opposite of corrupt kings. Imagine your tranquil Christmas card with the shepherds watching over their flocks by night. Their whole life's work is protecting and caring for their vulnerable flock and not protecting their own power. They lead their flocks to water and shelter and food. And at this point in the agricultural development of the world, they actually probably slept among their sheep to protect them from predators as well. So you can imagine that they smelled like livestock and manure all the time. It was not a glamorous life. I imagine when they went to town or the market to get supplies, people would probably hold their noses. And I'm sure it grated on the shepherds to be treated in this way. But they had to put the needs of their flock first. They had to protect their livelihood. This sacrificial leadership is how Jesus shepherds his flock, his subjects. Throughout his life, Jesus feeds the hungry, heals the suffering, welcomes the stranger, and protects the vulnerable. He is challenged and ridiculed all the way up to his death when he sacrifices his own life so that everyone might have new life in him. Jesus is hardly the king of fairy tales. Instead, he is a shepherd leading his sheep to a desert oasis, an Eden paradise. And likewise, we are not his subjects to be ruled over, but his sheep. So how are we to spend our time on this side of paradise? We must do what sheep do, and that is follow. Follow Jesus' teachings to live and live according to his example of loving, serving, healing, and walking alongside one another. It's not always easy to follow Jesus, but we don't have to do it alone. It's why we have the church. It's why we're all here together on this day, so that when we gather, we can help each other follow Jesus through sharing of scripture, through Holy Communion, through the waters of baptism, and through marking time with the church year to help us keep our focus on Christ. And so we arrive back to the beginning, where we started this sermon, with the church festival of Christ the King, a day to remind us that Jesus is an altogether different kind of ruler. Jesus Christ is a good shepherd, and we will follow. Let us pray. Majesty beyond majesty, you lead us by the loving leadership of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Help us to follow him in ways that make a paradise of peace here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.